Now, in parts of southeast Queensland, a tiny but deadly pest threatens wildlife, agriculture, and even human lives. The fire ant was first found in Brisbane in 2001 and has now spread over 500,000 hectares, an area twice the size of the ACT. They not only bite, they sting, injecting a venom that's not only excruciatingly painful, it can cause anaphylaxis. In the US, there have been at least 85 deaths attributed to fire ant stings. In Australia, a 10-year plan was launched a couple of years ago with the mission to find, contain and destroy fire ant colonies. But some critics say authorities are taking too long to respond to reported sightings. And they say the ants are spreading. Dr. Laurie Locke is an insect ecologist from James Cook University and a member of the Scientific Advisory Group for the National Fire Ant Eradication Program. Dr. Locke, welcome to RN.
Good morning.
Now, let's try to establish this point. Are fire ants spreading?
Oh, well, they are spreading, but they're spreading at a much lower rate than what would be happening if they were not under an eradication plan. And let me say that that spread is largely due to the legacy of the 2 years back in 2015-16, when the program was undergoing a technical review, and so the program went into containment and therefore only treated known infestations. And so over, say, that time, they've calculated the spread to be about 4.8 kilometers per year. Now, unchecked in Texas, for example, the spread is more along the lines of 48 kilometers per year, and in China, it's 80 kilometers per year. So the in a broad sense, the program is containing and is moving towards eradication still.
So the price of being fire ant free is eternal vigilance, it seems.
Yes. Well, eternal vigilance for at least another, several years. It's not something you can just follow a recipe and go out, follow these steps, and you're free of them. It's an ongoing challenge, especially over such a large area, and activities need to be prioritized within that area. So, for example, the western side of the infestation area is the area where they're currently focused on eradication, and the sort of eastern zones are more where they're working towards containment right now, and they need to prioritize areas and strategize, because otherwise they won't really achieve much at all.
Now, I know there's been a lot of conversation about the fire ant for a number of years now in southeast Queensland, but there's still a lot that isn't sort of known. It's not being much discussed outside that area. So for the benefit of those not living in southeast Queensland, where did the fire ant come from?
Well, they were first detected in Australia in 2001, and they originate from South America, so Brazil and Argentina. The ones that came into Australia were most likely from the United States, and they can come in with various types of cargo, plants or tires or, refrigerators. And as red-imported fire ants, gain a foothold in China and Japan, for example, then we should be very vigilant about imports from those locations as well.
And what do they do? I mean, that's so nasty. What makes them so nasty?
Well, this particular ant is very known for its sting. So not most invasive ants don't sting, but they have other weapons of choice. So they sting, and their venom can cause anaphylaxis, as you mentioned in your introduction. So they are a public health threat, and in parts of the United States where they have established, because they're well beyond full eradication there, since they've been there since the 1930s, you really can't have much of an outdoor life. So you don't use your backyard. You don't use parks unless there's some sort of local control program in place. It's just too difficult to be outside and avoid being stung.
So they really do limit Australian life where they get established?
They would. If we did allow them to establish, and at the rates of spread that I mentioned, if they had spread at the rate that they had spread in Texas, they would already be up to Mackay and down to Sydney.
So how do you eradicate them?
This program has a great track record in the sense that back in 2012, they declared eradication from 8,300 hectares, and that is hands down the largest eradication of any ant species in the world anywhere. So in that, they worked out what the best treatment regime was, and so they need to treat three times a year during the times of year when the ants are most active, and they need to do that over 2 years, and they need to follow that up with a lot of surveillance.
But when you say treat them, what are you doing to them?
So it's typically a broadcast bait. So certain places that would be applied with a helicopter, other places by hand where a helicopter can't fly. There would also be direct nest injections that can be done with this species because they are mound builders. So there are a variety of tools that could be used, and they're used in the context in which they're most appropriate.
So how important is it to react quickly if someone calls in and says, look, I think I've got some fire ants on my property?
It's really great, first of all, that people are calling in because there are only, so many people employed by the program, and they can only be in so many places at once. So they really do, all eradication programs really do rely very much on the public. So it's great that the public is involved and is engaging with the program. Now, in terms of how fast the program needs to respond, it might be counterintuitive. That really depends on what time of year it is, and that's because we know something about the ants' biology. So, for example, this time of year, when it's a bit colder, the ants really aren't foraging that much. They're kind of hunkered down, and it's actually more likely that people are going to notice them this time of year because they build their mounds up so that they can catch the warmth of the sun. So they, at the same time they become more visible, they're actually not going to be foraging as much. And therefore, to broadcast bait at this time of year is not going to be as effective. You're not going to get as much out of it. And therefore, the program typically uses this time of year to be out searching for new areas because they are so much easier to see.
Do you think that we will be able to get rid of them?
Look, I think the next 4 to 6 months is going to be crucial. What really has to happen is the remote sensing that can allow surveillance at really large areas, across really large areas, and is currently under development in collaboration with the U.S. military. So it's on its own schedule and has its own hoops it has to go through to get approvals and so on. But that would be really, really a game changer in the sense of being able to really scour areas outside the known infestation and ensure that new infestations are detected early enough.
They
spread.
We certainly wish you well, Dr. Laurie Locke, insectologist from James Cook University and a member of the Scientific Advisory Group for that National Fire Ant Eradication Program. The best of luck to you.
Thank you.